I'm joined by Khaled Salah, an executive member of the Syrian National Council. Khaled, can you give us your reaction to Iran's proposal for what to do about Syria?
Again, Iran is missing the ball. I was looking at the proposal a little earlier, and they're so equalizing the two parties. They're talking, they're talking about both sides simultaneously. They have to halt. They have to halt the violence. The reality of it, and we've said this, and I think the world understands it very well at this point, that there is a very well armed gangs. There is the 13th largest army in the world that's using all of its weapons at this point, from airplanes to tanks to attack civilians, and the civilians are merely attempting to defend themselves. Yet the Iranian proposal is almost blaming both parties for that. It's again talking about observers. We passed that point. We are way beyond that point. International observers that came from the UN during the UNSAM mission did not succeed. It seems to me that it's just another way for Iran to give some life into a very much dead government.
So does the opposition, does the Syrian National Council object to Iran's role in brokering any kind of deal?
Well, at this point, we consider Iran as part of the problem. They came out just a couple of days ago and clearly said that they have some military experts who are participating, providing training and counseling to the Syrian army. They are at Iran at the war with the Syrian people. I cannot really think of any better way to put it. If they are giving advice to those who are killing the innocent civilians, they are partners in the crime.
But as you know, the Egyptian President Mohamed Morsi proposed that Iran should be could be part of the solution. Has the opposition sort of stated that objection to Egypt?
We've had discussions with Egypt about that. We see their point of view, and we definitely respect it. The Egyptians feel that they can actually win the Iranians and get them to really understand what's going on. We disagree with that point of view, but we respect it. And we're glad at the same time to see Egypt take a very effective role in the Syrian revolution, trying to help us resolve it. So we are appreciative of this. We may not agree on all different points, but at least the Egyptians are actually getting involved and very active at this point.
Okay, it's been a sort of tough summer for the Syrian National Council. There have been a number of high-profile leaders leave the organization. What's the future for the SNC?
There hasn't been many top officials leave. Ms. Basma Qadamani left the organization, but she left. She was part of the SNC executive committee. She was appointed to the woman's seat for 6 months. After that, her term expired, and she chose to operate outside of the SNC. We have great respect for Ms. Qadamani. She was one of the most active members of the Executive Council. We still communicate with her very regularly and cooperate with her. Otherwise, I'm not aware of any other big departures. As a matter of fact, what the SNC is going through right now is a restructuring process where we have many new parties are entering the SNC. You know, we've all heard about the challenge of unifying the opposition. And what we've been working on for the last couple of months is having really very well-organized discussions with different parties in the opposition and bringing them into the fold of the SNC. So the SNC is coming out under a new structure, allowing people to participate in a democratic way in selecting the president, new general secretariats, the executive office. You'll have new organizations join. All of this is going to be taking place early on, the first few days in October.
Later this week, the UN's General Assembly is due to discuss Syria. Have you sort of given up on some kind of diplomatic solution?
We've always asked for a diplomatic solution. We think that this is the best way to resolve the conflict. However, what's taking place is we've sat with every political solution. We've sat on the table trying to discuss every possible political solution. But the Assad regime has always been very arrogant, always said they will continue talking to, will have a political dialogue. But at the same time, they go ahead and execute the civilians, kill them by the hundreds every day. We do not believe that the Assad regime is sincere or honest in what it says about the political dialogue. And it's really leaving very little room to accept any fact that they're willing to have a political solution. I think the regime has said it very clearly in its actions that they are going to resolve the issue using their military. And I think the Syrian people are very clear as well that we'll continue until we remove Assad.
What do you think is the kind of key thing next? I mean, how do you see the activities on the ground in Syria?
Major progress taking place every day in the city of Aleppo, of course, the second largest city. And we've heard during the first few months, we've all heard the talk that Aleppo did not participate. Well, Aleppo is participating. 50-60% of Aleppo is not under the control, at least the ground is not under the control of the Assad forces. And the FSA is making tremendous amount of progress in Aleppo. Yesterday, Tel Abyad border entrance fell into the hands, and this is in Raqqa, fell into the hands of the FSA. That was a tremendous blow to the Assad regime. Deir ez-Zor, although the city itself has been bombarded for the last 80 days, most of the other areas of Deir ez-Zor are free of ground forces from the Assad. If you look at the overall situation and exclude the fact that Assad still controls the air, he has airplanes that he can fly at any point in time. If you look at the ground forces, what you can see is that the Assad forces are withdrawing. They're not able to hold any area.
But they've just seized a large part of southern Damascus.
Can you say that again? Sorry.
They've seized a large area of southern Damascus after rebels withdrew.
Yeah, I mean, like, no, really, until now, we have not taken the fight into Damascus. Damascus is going to be a bit challenging because what we see from the Assad forces is that they are willing to use brutal force against the civilian population. So the FSA is really thinking through this process. The strike in Damascus is going to be very sharp and very effective, and it's going to knock Assad, but it's probably still not the right time for it. I'm sure that the FSA is looking and evaluating different alternatives. We're focused on different areas of the country at this point.
So Damascus apart, the conflict is not stuck in a stalemate as far as you're concerned.
If you notice the suburbs of Damascus, what we call Reef Dimashq, there are many areas where it's give and take back and forth between the FSA and the Assad forces. And, of course, at the same time, what the Assad forces committed in Daraya just a couple of weeks ago, horrendous massacre. At this point, the number of people killed is close to 900 people. They basically entered that suburb, very peaceful suburb, is actually considered the peaceful suburb of the revolution. The FSA was not there, and the Assad forces chose to slaughter close to 900 people. I have friends in that area who basically said the Assad forces came into a house, gathered 50 people, executed them, went to the next house, and 50 other people were just sitting there, and they just let them go, did not kill them. You can imagine the emotional state that these people were going through. So Damascus continues to be rough, and the regime continues to be very vicious and horrendous in the way it deals with civilians.
There have been a number of reports in the last few days highlighting the role of jihadi fighters in the uprising. Is that something that alarms the Syrian National Council?
We're monitoring the situation very closely. We're actually in close discussions with some of the largest units, Kitaab, on the ground. We don't see large numbers of jihadi groups. We don't see it on the ground. We monitor the videos that come out through YouTube. We have people on the ground as well. I think it's very much exaggerated by the media. And the reality of it, when you talk to different fighters, those who are actually on the ground, you don't you don't see that with them. You don't see them as Salafites or jihadis. There are people who went out and then decided to revolt against a regime that's oppressing them. And they're not really, some of them are not even religious. I would say that the people that first revolted against the Assad regime are actually the people who are least religious. They're the ones who just were willing to pick up arms and actually fight the regime as more and more people decided to join later on.
Your leader has just been, Abu Basit Saida has just been in Qatar. Presumably he was negotiating for more help with weapons. Is that true?
No, the SNC does not really have any discussions with any of the countries about weapons. There are other channels, and you know, there are people who are responsible for that. The discussions about Qatar we've had several points, probably talking about the restructuring of the SNC. That's one of the main points. Trying to understand, the Qataris want to understand how that process is going. I think there will be good news also coming out based on that trip, but I'll save that for a little later until it actually comes out officially.
Okay, Khaled, thank you very much for your time. Thanks.
Thank you, Matthew.